everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Yahushua, Jesus, our Messiah. The name of this program is Cross the Border, and the purpose of this program basically is an on-air, online, live Bible study. At least it's live while I'm doing it, though most people are probably listening to archives or rebroadcasts. This program probably goes a little further, a little deeper into Bible study than most people want to go. So I know I don't expect it to be very popular, because frankly, most people don't care very much about the Bible, or care to really dive into it and learn as much as they can about what is in there. I don't have an agenda. I don't have any monetary interest in doing this program. Nobody's going to get rich quick, and I'm not asking anyone to send me $1,000 seed faith money. I saw a program on TV the other day, and the guy was good. Yeah, he wanted everyone to send them $1,000 seed faith money, and of course, if you did that, the promise was your health and your wealth, but basically he would get the money. And like I said, the guy was very good and very convincing. If only I was that gullible, right? Well, yeah, there are a lot of people that are that gullible. Otherwise, the guy wouldn't be on the TV spending all that money to get everyone to send him money so their dreams could come true, and all in the name of Jesus. Okay, well, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. I always reference this portion of Matthew. So I thought, well, I'm going to start out the program with this. And this portion starts out, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Oh, good works, Father in heaven. Interesting. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. These are the words of Yahushua, commonly called Jesus here, and I'm reading from the King James Version, red letters, that's what they are. These are the translated words in the King James Version of the Messiah. And I think we can pretty much count on this translation, that it is pretty close enough that we can go on it and rely on it. And the fact is, without His Holy Spirit, we have nothing. We don't even have His Word. Even the Word itself says the letter killeth, but the Spirit gives life. So the letter without the Spirit is dead. That's why most people can't stand Bible study, is because they don't have the Spirit dwelling in them or drawing them. Because a lot of people, when they hear the Word, even though they have not the Spirit at that time, the Spirit is drawing them to hear it. Perhaps that a seed can be planted in their soul and grow into everlasting life. But I love this portion of Scripture. This is a portion of Scripture which is pretty much ignored by the modern-day corporate church, the scribes, the Pharisees, and the teachers and hypocrites of our day. All of those ones that are in bed with the state, that are comfortable telling people they get to go to heaven when they die, because they're comfortable with their corporate buildings, with their pensions, with their medical plans, their pension plans, and their weekly salaries. Yes, the hirelings. That's who I'm talking about. They've always existed. They existed in Yahushua's time, Jesus' time, and He called them hypocrites. He called them scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. So I'm going to go through this whole passage and read it to you all in context, and perhaps we can get a little more out of it. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. And we're at Matthew 5:14 for those of you who are wondering, where are we and when's he going to tell me what verse we're in? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So when they see our good works, they are to glorify our Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. And I guess a jot, a tittle is like the dotting of an I and the crossing of a T. So, not one jot or tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. So he said, I didn't come to destroy it. I didn't come to nail the law to the cross and kill it, to crucify it, but I came to fulfill it. So we have to ask the question, well, what did he fulfill? That is fulfilled. Not one jot or tittle shall pass heaven and earth. He says, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever shall break one of these least commandments. Well, what are these least commandments? I mean, what are the least commandments? And teach men to do so, he shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. Now is he talking about you're going to be least in heaven after we die when you go to heaven? And whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. And he says, for I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Very interesting. You shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Well, they put off heaven till after you die, so it doesn't matter if you go in now or not, because that's the gospel that they preach. But I don't believe that's the gospel that our master is preaching here, because he says, repent, for the kingdom is at hand. But I wanted to talk about the commandments. Therefore, whosoever therefore shall break one of the least commandments, so we have to take all the commandments. Of course, that which has been fulfilled, we don't have to do anymore. And we've been going through Exodus, and toward the end of Exodus, it was all about the setting up of the tabernacle and the Ark of the Covenant and the robes that the priests had to wear and all about the sacrifice. Since he was our sacrifice, the one who's speaking these words, we know that he fulfilled that part. But what about the rest of these commandments? He says, whosoever therefore shall break one of the least commandments. So what would a least commandment be? Well, I don't know. I really can't rate the commandments. I would say that setting up an idol and worshiping it, that would not be least. That would be pretty big. Having other gods before our Heavenly Father, that would be big. How about if I did a little work on the Sabbath? Maybe that would be a least commandment. I don't know. He doesn't list the commandments here. What is least? He doesn't put them in any order for us. He just makes this statement. Whosoever there shall break one of the least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. Now we have to recognize that we've all broken the least commandments, whatever they are, whatever we would deem as least or lesser commandments, having lesser importance. And certainly I think any commandment that you break, say on a technicality, but it does not show forth the fact that you hate God or you're worshiping an idol or you're putting something before him, neither are you hating your neighbor or it's causing you to not love your neighbor as yourself, because he said these two hang all the law and the prophets. So if it doesn't involve those, it would be least commandments. It would be technicalities. It would be things like, you know, maybe preparing a meal on the Sabbath, you know, kindling a fire. You know, you're getting into technicalities here now. what is called work and what is called not called work. So whoever shall break one of these least commandments and teach men so. So we all break them. I break the least commandments. I'm guilty. I'm sure that I have worked or kindled a fire or something on the Sabbath. If I put my key in my automobile and I turn the ignition on, I just kindled a fire. You know, I've kindled thousands and millions of fires if I drove the automobile everywhere, because every time one of those cylinders hits, it kindles a new fire. So I'm guilty of breaking the commandment, because it says you shall not kindle a fire. If I turn on a light, I've kindled a fire. There's a little fire in that light bulb. I've kindled a fire by flipping the switch and turning on the light. So we're all guilty. So you see how technically we can all be guilty. Thank goodness, you know, in Yahshua's day they didn't have light bulbs. And because if he'd have flipped a switch, perhaps he would have broken the law. I don't know. But I'll tell you what I'm not going to do. I'm not going to teach anyone to break even the least of the commandments, because I don't want to be least. So you have to combine. It doesn't say if you break them that you're going to be least in the kingdom. It says if you break these, one of the least of these commandments, and teach men so. That's okay. It doesn't matter. You know, I couldn't say that. If Yahushua, if the Spirit of God tells you not to turn on a light, you know, I'm not going to override his commandment. You take it up with him. I'm not going to teach you to break any commandment. I'm not going to tell you it's okay, because I don't want to be least in his kingdom. I mean, if I'm going to be great somewhere, I'm never going to be great in the world. The world is never going to love me. I can face that fact. I'm never going to become popular. I'm never going to go on the TV and have people sending me millions of dollars and paying me. I'm never going to write the greatest fiction book like Left Behind and become a millionaire thereby. I'm never going to become great in the world. I face that fact. And that's fine with me. You know, I have one duty every day. We all have the same duty every day. And if I would be afraid if I became famous in the world, I would have to think something's wrong. If I wrote a book and made millions of dollars on it, I'd have to know there's something wrong with that book. Because if the world is embracing it, and the powers that control the money, because I know they're evil, allow me to become enriched by that book, I know that it furthers their agenda some way, somehow, like the Left Behind series. I believe it, sincerely believe, that it furthers the agenda of our enemy to make that book popular, to allow that book to be spread around by the millions and multi-millions of copies, thereby making the authors very rich people. But I believe that it furthers the agenda of the Spirit of the Age. And I'm not talking about the Holy Spirit of our Heavenly Father. I'm talking about the Spirit of the Age, that Antichrist spirit. That may offend a lot of people, but those books are fiction. And they are not based on Scripture. They're based on fantasy. And that fantasy, a lot of people believe it, and it pulls them away from obedience to the Heavenly Father every day, because that is our duty. The whole duty of man is to obey God. That's my duty every day. Get up. My duty is obedience, to be obedient to my Heavenly Father. That my duty never changes every day. And everyone who says that I belong to Him, well, if you belong to Him, that means that He owns you. If you say that His shed blood is covering your sins, then you are not your own. And everything you do has to be okayed through Him. And if everything you do is not okayed through Him, then you don't belong to Him. Because He only wants volunteers. He wants people that willingly give their life to Him every day. So you make that decision whether you belong to Him by your actions. You decide whether you're walking in His kingdom by obeying His commandments and being obedient to His Holy Spirit. Does that mean you're perfect? No. We've already discussed that. I kindle a fire every Sabbath. So technically, legalistically speaking, well, I'm a lawbreaker, aren't I? But you know what? He judges the intents of the heart. He knows if our heart is really after Him. Because we're all condemned by our actions. We're all condemned by our past. It's only by his blood covering our sins, the sins of our past, and the death sentence that we were born with, that we are free from the law of sin and death. But I believe we have to endure till the end. I don't believe that you can say the magic words. I do believe that there is a point in your life where there has to be a point in your life where when you reach that point that you never turn back, you never turn away. You may stumble, but when you stumble, you get up like David did. And you know, it took David a while. The prophet had to come to him and shake him up. The Holy Spirit of our Heavenly Father working through the prophet shook David up. And he saw his guilt, even though he was blinded to it for a while. But I'm not going to buy into the once saved, always saved doctrine, and because too many people get comfortable with that. And these charlatans will come along and will say, repeat the magic words after me. And if you say these magic prayers, you know, they're reducing salvation to an incantation like witchcraft. You say the certain words and then you're saved forever. No, you aren't saved forever. Read the parable of the sower. The seed of the word falls on some kind of ground, whether it's fertile ground, whether it's rocky ground, whether it's watered or not. These all are all determining factors of whether that seed is going to grow into eternal life or not. So what I'm saying, yeah, you need to be afraid. You need to make sure your salvation. You need to question it. Absolutely. If anyone tells you, oh, it's wrong to question your faith, well, why? Why is it wrong? Don't you want to be sure? What if you're deceived? Don't you want to make sure you're not deceived? Because I would say that most people that believe they are saved are not saved. They're deceived. I mean, didn't all the scribes, the Pharisees, the hypocrites, didn't they believe they were saved? Well, they didn't think for a minute that they weren't saved. Otherwise, they would have repented. And this is sobering here. All of those who say, wasn't the law nailed to the cross? Whosoever therefore shall break one of the least of these commandments, one of these least commandments, and shall teach men so, shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. So this is a principle for teaching. And like it or not, here I am. I'm on the air going through the Bible. This is called teaching. So I am not going to teach anyone that breaking any of the commandments is A-okay. Because none of them have passed away. Till heaven and earth pass away, not one jot or one tittle shall pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Well, I look out my window and I see the heaven and I see the earth. It hasn't passed away. So not one jot or one tittle of the law in no wise will pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth will pass away. And definitely all has not been fulfilled. There are many prophecies that have not been fulfilled yet. So the law stands. And that which has not been fulfilled still stands. The ceremonial, the sacrificial has been fulfilled by Yahushua Messiah. I'm so glad that we don't have to set up this tent and have all of these lavers and the sprinkling of the blood and slaughtering of the animals and the, you know, all of that. We don't have to do that. That's been fulfilled, thankfully. But the rest of the commandments, you better believe it. If you can keep the Sabbath, you should endeavor. Why not? Why not? Three feast days in the year? You know, people, oh, well, we don't have to do that. But let's go ahead and keep the pagan feast days, you know, Ishtar, Ashtaroth, Easter. That one, you know, the fertility goddess worship that they do in the spring with the sunrise service and the Easter eggs and the bunnies and all of the fertility rites. That's okay. Well, let's bring that into the church. Forget history feast days. And we'll Christianize it. We'll make it all good. Well, we all know that comes out of Rome and their embrace of every pagan idolatry. And of course, it was carried over into the Reformation, because if you reform something, you still have it, unfortunately. You just reformed it. And that's what we got with the Reformation. It should have been a total putting off and a restoration of that which the Word gave us, the Ecclesia. But those men did the best they could with what they had. And, you know, I'm not going to hold them up as idols or worship them and fall into the same trap. I have the word, and I have tools that they never dreamed of. They never dreamed that you could have these tools like I have here. I have eSword. And if you want a copy of eSword, you'll find a link on my website or at firstamendmentradio.com. You can find a link there. But it's e-sword.net. Get that Bible program. What a wonderful tool. We have the Word like they never had it. We can study it like they were never able to study it. With so much more ease, we can look into the Word. So we have a choice. I have a choice. Whosoever there shall break one of the least of these commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. That's choice number one for me as a teacher. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. That's choice number two. Let me see. What should I do? Well, it's a no-brainer. For I send to you, except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. And he goes on here, and he says, you have heard that is said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. Well, you shall not kill. You shall not murder. And what was the judgment? Well, we read about that. We just went through Genesis and Exodus. We looked at the law, and it was commanded that at the hand of man shall the life of every man be required. So if you take your brother's life, your brethren, your fellow man is to judge you to see if your life is to be taken or not. Was it a capital crime? And of course, the judgments were laid out. You know, what was manslaughter? What was accidental? What was premeditated murder? What was murder in the heat of the moment? It was still murder, still worthy of death, because you have to have people that are able to control themselves. You can't have someone running around society who every time he gets heated in the emotion of the moment, he's going to take off and kill somebody. So it's the same punishment for him as the premeditated murderer, because he's a danger to society. And there was no prison for capital crimes in Yahuwah's law. For I say unto you that except your righteousness... Okay, we read that. So he raised the standard, basically, and here he tells us how he raised the standard. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Reka, and let's see, they use a Chaldee word here, empty one, worthless, vain, and it says, thou fool, shall be in danger of the council, but whoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. So it was very important, not just what you did, but the condition of your heart toward your brother is an important thing. Because the law and our Messiah said, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And then the standard was even higher in the law, and Yahushua repeated it, you shall love your enemies. Yeah, that was in the law in the Old Testament too. There was no different. Yahushua didn't preach anything new that he didn't preach and give the children of Israel before in the law. But here he actually raises the standard. The law isn't dead. He raised the standard. And I think people who don't regard his Sabbath or regard it as nothing, well, if you regard it as nothing or vain or something, oh, that was for them, well, aren't you guilty against a higher standard? Should we not at least reverence his Sabbath to the best of our ability? You know, perhaps if we obey it and we were not able to work on the Sabbath, perhaps our ox would be in the ditch. And I had a friend, Larry, call me from, I guess, South Carolina the other day, and that was a conversation we had. We talked about the proverbial ox in the ditch, and maybe we'll pick up there when I come back.